service from our public relations firm. She's assisting us in arranging for these interviews. We were just meeting with Wanda and telling her a little bit about how you began the Krishna Consciousness Movement here in America.
Well, perhaps you could continue where they left off. Could you tell me why you came to the United States in 1965? Did you feel that this was a mission that you had to fulfill?
Yes, not only in the United States, but everywhere. People do not know what is spiritual life. They have no knowledge. How to develop spiritual life, although it is the only business of human form of life to understand spiritual life.
Are you retiring now?
I'm always retired. I began this moment in my retired life.
Prabhupada says he was always retired, and he began, after retirement, he began this movement.
What do you mean by retired life?
I mean, are you giving up your position as spiritual leader?
Huh?
She means, are you now you're going back to India. Does that mean you're retiring from traveling all over the world, preaching and...
No, she says spiritual life.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Spiritual leader of the movement.
Managing everything.
Well, why you are asking this question?
Well, I'm curious.
Now, why you are curious about this?
Well, I'm...
Whether I'm retiring or not, that is...
What's the reason I'm curious? Well, because we're trying to, at Newsweek, develop and try to understand what the trends are in religion, all types of religion, whether it be Christianity, Catholicism, Evangelicism.
A spiritual life is never retired. It is eternal. There is no question of retirement.
I was wondering whether perhaps you would personally take a less active role.
No, I'm not taking a very, very great active part. I'm simply leading them.
Nobody's saying that. He says that the disciples are working so hard. But I was explaining to her that you are traveling all over the world, visiting your centers, and at the same time writing so many books.
That may be less. But that does not mean retirement.
That's the point. He may not travel as much, but that doesn't mean retiring from spiritual life. His spiritual life goes on continuously at all times, whatever one's age.
Well, I didn't mean that he was retiring from spiritual life.
From management.
His main work is his books.
I was wondering if he had a successor to do his types of work. Do you have a successor to take your place when you die?
Not yet, certainly.
Physically. Pardon me?
Not yet, certainly.
No. So what process would the...
We have got secretaries. They are managing.
He has appointed from all the disciples a group of secretaries. Each one is in charge of a different... sector of the world.
How many secretaries?
Presently there's 18.
And so that group of 18 secretaries will choose another leader?
I'm training each one of them as leader so that they can spread extensively. That is my idea.
So, in other words, you started this whole movement here in the United States 10 years ago. Would you say that the United States had the most active financially group of followers?
She wants to know that it seems you chose the United States to begin this Krishna consciousness movement 10 years ago. Now, do you find that in the United States there is the most active membership, financially speaking, in terms of contributing to this movement, supporting the movement, is the best field America?
But without finance, it can go on.
Without finance.
Without finance, we can go on.
Yeah.
Oh, we can go on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not have any financial help, but his movement is going on. It does not depend any on financial. It is independent. Spiritual member is independent of any material help. That is spiritual.
But how would you be able to carry out your educational program, your book publishing program, if you do not have a financial backing?
How I am managing that?
But now you are doing well financially.
You are stressing on financial help. But my reply is that this woman does not depend on financial help. That is the reply. Anytime. It does not depend on financial.
Why would you say you were doing so
well? We don't
well?
Tithe our members. We don't. In other words, our congregations do not pay dues. We are depending on Krishna. We're simply trying to print books and we show them to people, and then Krishna inspires them to purchase or give a contribution. It's not that we have people making large contributions or a congregation that pays dues.
So where does most of your money come from?
She wants to know where most of our money comes from.
Money comes from Krishna.
Krishna.
Rabbi Shah, maybe it would help her. I just told her how first year how the books were sold before there was this publishing. There was a time in which it was just a storefront. I mean, how were these books sold in the very beginning? Is that what you'd like to understand?
Prabhupada personally went to the printer in Japan. He was personally made the arrangement with the printer. The
but
first
how did
printer.
He sell his first book in America?
He sells it on the boat to the ship's captain.
And there's a process.
I mean to say,
process.
What is our financial arrangement? Why these questions are being raised? This is not an interview about the movement. They are very much interested about our financial health.
Prabhupada is observing that they are very interested in our financial backing.
What do you think about some of the other gurus, if you will, since you are yourself considered a guru, Werner Erhard? Do you study anybody else?
These answers you can get.
He said, what do you think about the other gurus?
Why shall I think of other gurus?
He does not study them.
Why shall I think of other gurus? Oil your own machine.
Oil your own machine.
Could you tell me a little bit about your background when you were young, what types of things you did, and what...
Why shall I tell you?
Pardon me?
Why shall I tell you?
If you wish.
Why shall I wish?
Well, reporters have to ask these questions, otherwise I would be out of
it. Prabhupada's hoping that you'll ask something that's relevant to this.
People are interested to know about you, Srila Prabhupada. And if they take an interest in you, then they will automatically be interested in your books also. They're very eager to know about the author of all these books that we are selling.
So that books will speak about the books. Does it depend on what the author was doing previously?
You were the translator of many books, from what I understand.
So that translation, the book will speak how I've translated.
I was wondering.
You read the books, then you'll understand. Mm-hmm. Instead of asking me, you better read the books. That is real understanding.
I was just wondering how he personally got interested or involved and what his route to his consciousness was.
I see. She's asking about your relationship with your Guru Maharaj, how you became inspired to start the Krishna Consciousness Movement and write
these
so many
things
books.
You can answer. It is not very important thing. But public.
I think the public always likes to know about the person behind the movement.
Yes, it helps. People are interested. People are interested in the development of a man like you, because they relate, and that way they decide to read what you write.
The thing is that if you are interested in our book, so you read our books, you will understand.
You will understand you?
Yeah. Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Is that what he's saying?
A man is known when he speaks.
When he
speaks. Tavatya sovate murkha javat kinchin navasa. A fool is so long beautiful as long as he does not speak. When he speaks, then he can understand what it is. So my speaking are there in the book. And if you are intelligent, you can understand. You haven't got to ask. Speaking, let's say in a court, a big lawyer is known when he speaks. Otherwise, everyone is a good lawyer. But when he speaks in the court, then he is known whether he is a good lawyer. So you have to hear, you have to read, then you'll understand. Real understanding is there.
Do you think that someday the Krishna Consciousness Movement will spread to all the people in the world?
That is not possible, because it is more for the most intelligent class of men. So this movement is for the most intelligent class of men.
But amongst the most intelligent classes?
Unless one is intelligent class, belong to the Hindu, he cannot understand. So we don't expect that everyone is intelligent. Krishna je bhaje sevaro chotur. Unless one is very intelligent, he cannot become Krishna conscious. Because it is a defined subject matter. People are engrossed with the bodily concept of life. It is beyond that. So a dull brain cannot understand what is beyond this body. So you cannot expect that everyone will understand Krishna consciousness. That is not possible.
There's been a lot of talk of genetic perfection of mankind, or say, attempting at genetic perfection.
What is genetic?
What is genetic perfection?
We were discussing yesterday about the science of genetics. They try to understand the traits that form, how the body and mind are formed, and then
that
try to change it.
What is that book?
Sarup Damodar's book.
Yeah.
But what is your question?
My question is, if you were mentioning earlier about, you know, using the technological tools, now if there is some society where there is some...
That book is not here?
No.
no air in the
beneath. Why is she has a problem?
Let me ask you, if through technological means mankind is somewhat improved, in other words, the average man is much more intelligent, what you would consider now to be an intelligent man?
Intelligent man, if one understands that he is not this body, he is within the body. Just like you have got one son, you are not the son. Any one can understand, you are within this heart. Similarly, a person who understands that he is not the body, he is within the body. That anyone can understand, because when the body is dead, what is the difference? Because the living force within the body is gone. Therefore we call the body dead.
But there's some very intelligent men who are not spiritually enlightened. Perhaps even men who understand that they are not, you know, the body is not all, the body is dead, and there's something else. Why aren't these men spiritually aware?
If one does not understand the simple thing, that he is not body, then he is no better than animal.
But
that is the first understanding of spiritual platform. If he thinks that he is body, then he is in the same category as the animals.
Her question is, suppose someone has some faith in life after death, and he also may be an intelligent man by material standards. Why isn't he automatically...
Material standard is no intelligence. Material standard is that I'm this body. I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm fox, I'm dog, I'm man. This is material understanding. The spiritual understanding is beyond that. That I am not this body. And when he tries to understand that spiritual identification, then he is intelligent. Otherwise he is not intelligent.
So does this mean that...
They have been described as murha. Murha means asses. So this is the first understanding that one should not identify with this body.
What understandings come
just like after dog? This? Dog understands that he is body. If a man also understands like that, he is body, then he is no better than the dog.
What other understandings come after this one?
After you realize that you're not the body, then what comes next?
That is intelligent question. Then one has to find out that I am engaged only in this bodily concept of life. Then what is my engagement? And that is the inquiry of Sanatana Goswami, that you have relieved me from this material engagement. Now, let me know what is my duty. For that reason, one has to go to the spiritual master to know, understand what is his duty now. If I am not this body, then what is my duty? Because I am busy whole day and night for this body. I am eating, I am sleeping, I am having sex, I am defending. These are all bodily necessities. If I am not body, then what is my duty? That is intelligence.
What is man?
So you said, what is the next thing after realizing you're not this body? And Prabhupada says, the next thing is to find out what you should be doing. And for that, you t- take information from a self-realized soul or a spiritual master?
Spiritual master in the forms of his books.
Prabhupada was explaining that now, in the bodily concept of life, we have so many duties. We're working, we're having sex life, we're eating, sleeping, defending ourselves, so many things. All of this is in relationship to the body. But if I'm not this body, then what is my duty? What is my responsibility? So the next thing is that when one understands this, they must take instruction from the spiritual master, make progress, and understand what real duty is. It's very important.
Even for eating, sleeping, sex life, and defense, we require some knowledge from a teacher. Say for eating, we take knowledge from experts, what kind of eating we should take, what contains vitamin, what kind of... So that also requires education. And sleeping also requires education. And so for bodily concept of life, one has to take knowledge from others. So when he is above this bodily concept of life, he understands that I am not this body, I am spirit soul. But similarly, he has to take lesson and education from an expert.
Mm-hmm. Could you go over each of the three functions you've been mentioning, eating, sleeping, and sex, and tell me what rules or hints that you would give people who are seeking spiritual enlightenment to aid in their lives in these ways?
Yes, that is our books. Mm-hmm. That is our books. We have got enough matter to understand. It is not a thing that we'll understand in a minute.
I understand you sleep very little. You sleep 3 to 4 hours a night. Do you feel that this is what any person who is spiritually actualized will also realize?
Yes. We see from the behavior of our Goswamis, they practically had no material necessities. This eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, practically, they are no such thing. They are simply engaged in Krishna's business.
Krishna's business or God's service.
You're setting the example of Sri and previous spiritual masters.
Well, what I was interested in is why has he found that 3 or 4 hours is a necessary time period for sleep?
In other words, why? She's asking, why is 3 to 4 hours the amount that you sleep? How have you reached that standard?
That is not artificially. The more you are engaged in spiritual activities, the more you become free from material activities.
Naturally.
That is the test.
And so you've arrived at that.
Now, I don't speak about myself, but that is the test. Bhakti prasanu bhava virakti annatva sya. If you advance in bhakti, in spiritual life, then you become disinterested in material life.
Do you think there's a difference between various peoples of the world? In other words, do you think that Indians as opposed to Europeans have more of a tendency or are more likely to adhere to the Krishna consciousness?
Any intelligent can become Krishna conscious, that I already explained. But unless one is very intelligent, he cannot take to Krishna consciousness. So, it is open for everyone. But there are different grades of intelligence. In Europe, America, they are intelligent, but their intelligence is utilized for material purpose. And in India, their intelligence is utilized for spiritual purpose. Therefore, you find so many on a highly spiritual standard of life, books, literature. Just like Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva was also a householder life, but he was living in the forest and see his contribution of literature. Nobody can dream in. So by literary contribution, one's intelligence is tested. All big, big men of the material world, scientists, philosophers, even technicians, they are recognized by their writings, by their contribution, not by their gigantic body.
Could you tell me a little bit about your educational system that you have helped to establish, particularly here in the States?
The Gurukulam. She's asking if you could tell her about the system of education you have established in America.
That you can see what education I'm giving to my disciples. The first education is that they must be free from all sinful activities. That is the first education. According to the Vedic instruction, a man is supposed to be educated, even from material point of view, a man is supposed to be educated when he sees every woman as mother.
As
mother.
He sees every woman as his mother.
That is the standard of education. Mātrivat paradāresu paradabhesu loshtuva. Ātavat sarvabhūtesu japasyati sa pandita. Pandita means educated. So, how is educated, how it is tested. And when a person takes all women except his wife as mother, then he is educated. When one thinks other's property as garbage in the street, then he is educated. And when one thinks that all living entities are of the same level, ātvat sarva-bhūtesu, then he is educated. Not that for my convenience I say the animal has no soul, send them to the slaughterhouse. He is not educated.
He says, Prabhupada said, one of the standards of education is to see all living entities equally. So not that we say that an animal has no soul, therefore he can go to the slaughterhouse, but a man has soul, so he cannot. As we see all living entities equally, so we do not send man to slaughterhouse, and we do not send animals to slaughterhouse. That is education.
What, in your system, what do you propose to do with criminals?
What do you propose to do with criminals in your educational system? How will you reform them?
Criminals should be punished.
Punished?
Yeah.
How so?
How seriously should they be?
That you have to consult Shastra, that is, direction. Practically it is the same, just like Manusangita. It says if one is a murderer, then he should be killed. Life for life. He should be hanged. That is the old system. The king used to kill a murderer. So that is almost the same punishment.
Capital punishment.
What
Prabhupada said is that you have to consult the ancient law books which were written, which are part of Indian culture thousands of years ago.
Part of the Vedic scriptures.
that there are law, there, just like we have books of philosophy, there are also books of law, how to govern society, how to deal with criminals. He said that it should be. In other words, we're sticking to the Vedic literatures. As they instruct, we are following.
What do the Vedic literatures say about adultery?
What about adultery, Pope? Mm-hmm. She wants to know, what do the Vedas say should be the... What is the reaction for adultery? How does one deal with an adulterer? If someone is an adulterer and he's caught, what should be the...
No, there is no such direct punishment, but it is private. It is private.
There's no direct punishment, but it is prohibited. Mm-hmm. Part of the education and the social convention, it is prohibited. Not that the government allows propaganda to be made for illicit sex.
There, other words, the woman who is chaste, he is very much glorified.
Chaste woman is very much glorified in Vedic culture.
I'm particularly interested in the educational system that you're setting up. Do you think that...
You mean for children?
Mm-hmm. She's referring to now the system that we have for our children, Gurukula. So what's the question?
My question is, because they are receiving this education, physical and spiritual education, so that they will be free of corruption and sin, they might still, even with this education, they still might not be intelligent, what you consider intelligent people. How, you know, is it more likely that they will be what you would term intelligent, having been educated in this system?
There are different types of education. Just like in the material world, there is education for medical man, there is education for engineer, there is education for so many other departments. Similarly, there is education how to make one man spiritual. So we are going to give education how to become spiritually advanced. That is our purpose.
Advance. That is our purpose. Now her question was whether all the people that go to our Gurukula will become spiritually advanced. Whether
certainly. Mm-hmm. That is Gurukula education.
Even though some are born with more intelligence and some are born with less intelligence.
It doesn't matter. Average intelligence will go.
Well, then conceivably it seems that almost, you know, the great majority of society could adhere to Christian consciousness.
So then, since it doesn't matter whether less intelligent, small intelligent, if they go to Gurukula, they can become spiritually advanced.
Yes, because spiritually, everyone is free from material bondage. So, materially we find one is more intelligent, one is less intelligent. But spiritually, everyone can be equally intelligent.
So what about the common man? If he accepts the Gurukula system, he can also be spiritually advanced?
Oh yes, anyone. Anyone.
See, Prabhupada's point in the beginning was whether they'll accept it or not. But once they accept it, once they get trained, then they'll automatically be advanced. His point in the beginning was that whether they'll accept it or not, that requires intelligence.
Except to undergo that type of conditioning.
Or training. Yeah.
And also, I think he was defining his definition of intelligence in the spiritual realm as opposed to material.
Prabhupada said intelligence means you accept the process of Krishna consciousness, or you accept to be trained to be spiritually advanced.
It's a hypothesis. It's like a hypothesis.
Don't you find the whole Krishna movement more successful in an age and an era when there is such laxity of moral standards and spiritual leadership and direction.
Right. At any stage of life, if one accepts the principles of Krishna consciousness, he can make advance.
She asked, is it more favorable for spreading Krishna consciousness if there is some material problems?
Social problems.
Social problems. If there is a lack of God consciousness, that people become frustrated, is that a more favorable situation for Krishna consciousness to take root?
Yes, if we arrange social, political, and everything favorable to spiritual understanding, then it becomes easier.
Probably saying the opposite of what you hypothesized. That if everything is arranged socially, politically, everything, in a God-conscious, Krishna-conscious manner, it becomes easier to accept the principle of God-consciousness, Krishna-consciousness.
Just like these are all discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, what kind of social arrangement should be. That it is called Vanasam Dharma. A Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha. So these are defined groups. And if they are favorably trained up, then spiritual understanding becomes very easy.
Can you tell me a little bit about the future, the direction of the movement, how you plan to expand?
That is going on already. Just like these boys, they did not know about Krishna some years ago, but they are taking seriously. The same process, if it is continued, then people will take.
In other words, Prabhupada sees that if we just continue the programs that he has introduced, just like we have already become members, similarly, many others will continue to become members in the future if we just continue the same programs which made us members.
Chanting.
Namely, the chanting of the mantra, distributing of the books, distribution of the food.
Following the regulated principles.
And very carefully following the training system that Prabhupada has given us for becoming advanced spiritually. That involves what to eat and what not to eat, and how to avoid taking drugs, intoxicants. There are certain principles.
Prabhupada is creating a class of purified persons. So they're located throughout the world, and if other persons come to them, and they become purified. Just like we've come to Prabhupada, and we've been purified. Similarly, his disciples are empowered to purify others, because they've become pure. And that way, it increases geometrically.
It's an educational process. So if someone coming from the street, you can't expect that he's given a degree in chemistry. He has to be trained up. So the educational process goes on and goes on. Give and take. Expands naturally.
Just like in the beginning, Prabhupada was teaching Bhagavad Gita personally to his disciples. But now in each one of his over 100 temples throughout the world, his instructions are being taught. So he's expanded himself through his books and his temples. So anyone who enters into them, they're associated with him and becoming purified. So in more temples, people come and become purified.
Are you prepared to die?
What is this question?
Are you prepared to die?
What does that mean?
You are not prepared? I didn't answer.
Permit?
You are not prepared to die?
I haven't thought about it too much.
Why? You are asking me why? Because you are afraid.
Pardon me?
Because you are afraid. You are not prepared to die.
Perhaps that's the reason.
Everyone will die. You prepare or not prepare, you'll die. It doesn't matter whether you are prepared or not. Death must be there.
Sure.
our philosophy, as Prabhupada said in the beginning, is that spiritually there is no end. There is no such thing as death for the soul, the self-realized soul. It is simply death of the body.
These things are discussed. And now this was.
The book is.
It is an educational movement. It is not a religious movement, gentlemen. One requires to be educated, then he will be completely on the spiritual path.
Can I ask you one more question before he reads the passage?
Now, first of all, about death.
The translation is, for the soul, there is never birth nor death, nor having once been, does he ever cease to be. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, undying, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain.
But there is no question of death for a spiritually realized person.
Is there any method for descent within your movement or change?
Reforming? Changing the teaching course to fit the time?
Just like in the church, as the public mood has changed, they have compromised on certain issues, like abortion, homosexuality, priests getting married. So she wants to know if in our movement there will be this arrangement also.
Well, I didn't necessarily mean the specifics.
In other words, the purity is maintained by the system is perfect to begin with, so it remains perfect by being unchanged. Mm-hmm. If the system is imperfect, you may have to always be adjusting.
Yes. When the system is imperfect, then it has to be changed according to time and circumstances. But if the system is itself perfect, there is no personal change. Just like the perfect system, the sun rises from the eastern side. So, from millions and trillions of years, the system is going. Because the system is perfect. It doesn't require change. Neither you can change. You cannot ask the sun to rise from the western side. So, if the soul is eternal, it does not die, or it is slain after the body is finished. That is eternal fact. This time, the past, present, and future, everything.
How important is your physical environment to you? This room is very lovely. It has light and space and air and flowers. Is this important at all, or would it be the same to you to be sitting out in the street?
No. Why shall I sit down on the open space anywhere, on the bank of the river, on the bank of the ocean? There are so many open spaces. You can sit down there.
So her question was, is your physical place important, surroundings?
Yes. So long I have got this physical body, I have to give some physical facility. Jukta vairagya. If I can write my books in a comfortable place, why shall I voluntarily go to a dark place?
But at the same time,
material facilities, either dark place or lighted place. It is the same thing, but I will have to accept which is favorable for me.
Discrimination. In other words, our system is, as I explained out there, we are not averse to using material facilities in our service to Krishna.
We're not dependent upon them.
We're not dependent on them, but if they are available, we must use them for Krishna.
Prabhupada has undergone great difficulty.
After all, anything, material or spiritual, that is Krishna's arrangement.
What is what?
Krishna's arrangement. After all, anything material or anything spiritual, it's his arrangement.
What we say, material, that is not aloof from Krishna. That is also Krishna's energy. Just like darkness and light, both of them are related to the sun. Is it not? What is darkness? Absence of light. Is it not?
Could you tell me what this painting up here is?
Painting.
It's a
painting of the spiritual sky.
Painting of the spiritual sky?
Yes, this is it's a picture of the entire
creation.
It shows many different, each of these spheres is a planet. And you may notice that on the right hand bottom corner there's a darker area. That darker portion is known as the material world. By world we don't just mean this planet, we mean a composite of all of the material universes. But these only make up one small portion of the entire creation. Just for our understanding, it's said to be about 1/4 of the creation, the entire composite of all of the material universes. The other 3/4 are made up of spiritual planets, which are self-illuminating. There's no need of sunshine or moonlight or electricity. Full of knowledge. Whereas here, life is very temporary and it's not always blissful and there's a lot of ignorance also.
But you are living in a spiritual planet here.
No.
Well, this planet is part of the material universe, but because our consciousness is Krishna conscious or God conscious, practically we're not affected very much by the conditions of the material world. Just like one of the conditions is fearfulness of death. But because
we can give one example. This royal throne, the king is there and a bug is there.
On a royal throne there's a king
and the bug.
And also a mosquito may be there also. Some bug.
But a mosquito is mosquito and the king is king. Although they're sitting on the same place.
Both sitting on the throne.
So everyone is here on this planet. Some people are affected by the material conditions.
He's mosquito.
He's the bug. And then there
is. This is the best example. The throne, both of them are seated. But king's consciousness and mosquito's consciousness are different. It is not because they are on the same throne, therefore of the same country. Mosquito's business is to bite, and king's business is to rule over.
Another important thing to note about this painting is that the material world is said to be a reflection of the spiritual world. Just like here in this universe, there are many planets. Similarly, there are many planets in the spiritual world. But it is a perverted reflection.
And besides that, even we are claiming to be very materially advanced, we do not know everything of the material world. It's like so big universe, material. What do we know about that? We have no knowledge, practically.
He's talking about the sun uses.
Even of the material world, we have no sufficient knowledge. What to speak of the spiritual world?
Could you tell me something about your altar?
Yes, it's going.
He said
he's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda. We are worshipping him.
The two figures on the throne of the altar represent an incarnation of God named Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And they both appeared in India approximately 500 years ago. they are incarnations of God, God himself, who descends into this world. So those forms represent the Supreme Lord. Therefore, we're worshiping them.
Pictures.
The below and the step are the pictures of the spiritual masters in the long coming in the disciplic succession from Lord Chaitanya when he appeared in this world 500 years ago.
Lord Chaitanya started this movement chanting Hare Krishna congregationally. It was predicted 5,000 years ago in the Vedic scriptures that in this age, this present age, the Lord would appear and would teach the real religious process for this age, which is chanting of the holy names.
This is very traditional in India, temple worship, and the figures are on the altar. It's very, very traditional. It goes back many thousands of years.
Let me ask him one more question. Why are you returning to India? Had you ever considered staying here in the United States?
I've got branches everywhere. That's why I'm coming here after traveling so many branches. Similarly, I'm going to India.
So,
it's part of his travel.
Prabhupada has no fixed home. He has
I
no
want to see
place.
That every center things are going on nicely.
Oh, I see. I thought you were not returning to the United States.
I think you've traveled the world 16 times?
Yeah.
Around? 16 times around in 10 years. So this is
just to inspect things, how they're going on.
Just to inspect things.
But you might you come back to the U.S.?
Oh, yes, why not?
He might. But there are many projects in India now that we can talk about. Yes.
Every year, almost 6 to 7 months I pass outside India.
Wanda, do you have any more questions you'd like to ask?
I'm looking.
Yes, we have.
She did.
No, not yet.
No, we have outside.
Thank you. I guess that wraps it up. I will ask
you some questions. We taped the conversation and we're going to transcribe it for you and send it to your office.
We would certainly appreciate it.
They're on the same plane, but different person.
Different consciousness. I don't think she was the senior editor that was supposed to be someone like her.
The first time they've ever heard such things in any case. Even if they're religious by Western standards, they've never heard such things before. I'm not this body. They've never heard.
No one has any knowledge at all about religion.
Moha. That is the general statement. Moha.
They see our movement as being material. They see our movement as being material.
Because they have no other conception.
They don't see the spiritual
material
aspect of it.
They have no other conception of the promises.
They have no other conception.
They don't know how to recognize.
Therefore they misunderstand.
Yes.
They can't recognize what spiritual is. Even in India nowadays,
yeah,
they're confused also. They can't
recognize. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, there is a word, Vaishnaver Kriya Mudra Vijnana Bhuja. The activities of a Vaishnava, even the most intelligent person of this world, cannot answer. Vaishnaver Kriya Mudra Vijnana Bhuja.
I remember reading in the Krishna book, you mentioned that to the ordinary man, a Vaishnava appears to be crazy.
Yeah.
If they're going to have another interview with